This message is coming to you from the First Baptist Church in Coleraine, Massachusetts. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Mass., with Sunday worship at 11 a.m. and Sunday school for all ages at 9:45. And now, the scripture lesson and message.
All right, scripture reading today, Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. We're going to finish Romans today. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith, to the only wise God be glory forever, through Jesus Christ. Amen. So after approximately 2.5 years of teaching through the book of Romans, today is the day that we'll finish studying Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And the great apostle closes his final chapter by praising God and a doxology. Some churches like ours sing what is known as the doxology, which we sing praises to God, praises to the Lord. But it can become over familiar. I hope that it doesn't. However, true praise always comes from the heart, and God looks upon the heart. Man looks upon the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. He knows our heart. The Bible is full of praises to God, praise and worship to God. For example, many of the Psalms ends with a doxology. Not all of them, but a lot of them, a good percentage of them, end with a doxology, praising God. Many times in the Word of God, the authors were so overcome with love and joy for the Lord that they just had to praise him. They just had to praise the Lord. We have a lot to praise the Lord for. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. If indeed, Lord, we certainly do praise you for all that you have done, Almighty God, seeking those sinners that were lost, and yet willing enough to come and live amongst sinful man, but die a cruel death, which is known to man, and yet being raised from the dead. And because you live, we can live also. And once we come to know you as our personal Savior, then and only then can we truly praise you and worship you. Thank you for doing everything for us that you continue to do and will do. Lord, we pray that you'll help us teach this message that you have prepared. Help us to receive it, to talk to us, not just as a group, but also as individuals. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Now that we know him, we can praise him. Why? Well, he's worthy. But all because of his amazing grace. Amazing grace. Grace speaks of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon needy souls and turns them to Jesus Christ. And then he keeps them by his grace. And he strengthens them by his grace and helps them to increase in faith by his grace, increase in faith and in knowledge and affection towards God, and enables them, us, to exercise Christ-like virtues throughout our entire life. Regardless of how you describe it, grace is what makes difference in every life that God touches. Amazing grace of God. Saving grace is something that all began with God and ends with God. People do not seek after God. It's God that seeks people. Thank God that he did. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Romans chapter 3, verse 11. God came after us. We didn't go looking for him. People do not initiate their own salvation. It's all a work of God by his grace. People cannot provide the means of salvation. Only God can. Only God has. But God demonstrates his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God saw the need of the people that were lost, and they're all lost until they're found. He's the one that took the initiative to help us. Because God is a compassionate and loving God. And he provided the Savior for sinners. And then he cleaned us up by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Swept the house clean. He pulled us into God by the teaching, the preaching, the reading of God's word through the Holy Spirit. He pulled us in by his grace. Why? So we could be saved from sin. So we can be saved from Satan. So we wouldn't have to be separated from God in this life and in the world to come. Grace is all a gift from God. The benevolent, merciful, loving God that he gives to man freely. We can never earn it. We can never earn it for ourselves. It was all a work that he did on our behalf. So also, never let us forget the sole reason why Jesus came into this world. It wasn't just to come to teach. Although nobody could teach like the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't just come as an example to set for others, although none lived a better godly life than Jesus because he is God. He did not come just to do the miracles, though nobody could ever do what he did. The main reason Jesus came into this world was to become the Savior of humanity. He loves everybody who's ever been born. The worst type of person that's ever been born, God loves that person and died for that person. So people that believe in him might have everlasting life. The innocent Lamb of God, came to die for guilty sinners, so that guilty sinners might be made righteous, might be made right with God. Salvation can only come through the sovereign grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Christ is the anointed one. He's prophet, he's priest, and he is king, and the only one who is able to meet our need. We're all a needy people, aren't we? God knows exactly what your need is. And you do not receive because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. Only he is able to help us through our journey in this world. After we trusted him by faith, only by his grace are we able to face life's trials. You're going through a trial this morning. You're going through a struggle. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. By his grace, he can teach us how to live for God once we've been saved. For the grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Titus 2, 11 and 12. We have the grace to do that, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives. It's only by his grace that can help us to do that and live for God and to do God's will in this world. Grace is available to us. We don't have to try to do it by ourselves. If we do, we're going to fall flat on our face. We need God. God plus nothing at all. Only by his grace. It's unlimited. It's infinite. It empowers us to face whatever life throws our way. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And like I said before, we are a needy people. Amen? Thank God for God's grace. Paul talks about the proclamation of Jesus Christ. He's referring to the message, the gospel message. That's the proclamation of Jesus Christ. In other words, the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross. Not the wooden thing that Jesus was nailed upon, but what Jesus did on that cross in his finished work on the cross. When the last thing he said before he gave up the ghost, it is finished. For the message of the cross, not the cross, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. But regardless of what people may say or think, the gospel is all about Jesus Christ. He died. He was buried. And he rose again the third day. He's done that for us. Thank God that he did. And he's done it for countless millions. And continues to do so by his grace and will continue to do so until the church is complete. The gospel is the only message of hope, for peace, and for power for all mankind. And Paul talks about establishing us. The gospel also performs the ministry of establishing us. This word means to make stable, to place firmly, to set fast like super glue, only better, to strengthen and to make firm. So when the gospel is preached and then it's believed, the soul is saved. Then the believer is given a stable, firm footing of faith to enable them to stand and not to fall. We're able to stand and not to fall. By his grace, we are established. We're no longer in danger of being dropped by God. We're no longer in danger of being lost. Now we're found. We've come back to Daddy. The Lord keeps us from falling. Oh, we may stumble occasionally. We may stumble. But we can never completely fall. No. Why? Because God has got hold of our hand. God is holding our hand. We're saved. Once we're saved, our feet are planted firmly on the solid rock, Jesus Christ, the rock that never rose. Only through the gospel can God give us complete hope and security and establish us in the faith. And also this word means that once we are saved, we become his disciples. Not only followers, but we're also learners. So when the gospel is being preached and taught, we're being discipled through the whole book of Romans and James and hopefully Matthew in a couple of weeks. We're going to start on and going into the Old Testament, the whole Word of God. We're being established. You're being discipled, whether you knew it or not. Since I've been here, you are being discipled. You are being established in the faith. That's what the gospel does. And Paul talks about this mystery. It was hidden to a lot of the prophets in the Old Testament. They didn't have a clue what they were writing down because it hadn't come to pass yet. Now the mystery is completely solved. Paul brings to light the mysterious side of the gospel that was hidden in the past. But now it's been revealed to us. What a privilege we have to live in this age of grace. We have the full counsel of God. We have the full canon of Scripture to teach us. And it's going to tell us what's going to happen in the future. No one else can tell us that. But the Word of God does. Only we know that the mystery has been revealed. It's in the Word of God. The light has been revealed, been hidden in the past. Now it's revealed to us in this age of grace. Now heaven's door is open wide, and whoever can call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. Their soul can be saved. People everywhere, no matter what race or color or creed, can come and drink of the water of life freely. He's still calling people. He's drawing people to himself. But sadly, unlike us, the gospel is still a mystery to millions and millions and millions of people in this world. Why? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. They're in darkness. They're still in darkness. We have the revealed light. We're walking in the light. We've received the light. Millions and millions and millions of people are completely deceived by the God of this world. Deceived to believe a lie. And also millions of people believe that it's up to them to either do this or to do that to appease a God they don't even know. We know him. We know him. These people hope that whatever they do will secure them a place in heaven. Get some kind of brownie points with God from what they do, their works. They think it's going to secure them a place in heaven. Like you can blow yourself up or blow other people up at an airport or drive an aeroplane into the towers in New York, and then you're going to go directly into the presence of heaven, and there's going to be 72 virgins waiting for you. Wrong. Lies. Deceived. Fools. The truth of the gospel is all about Jesus Christ. Plus nothing. The gospel is all about Jesus. Nothing else matters. He's all we need for this life to secure our heavenly destiny, our eternal destiny in heaven. And also, many believers think that they had something to do with their salvation. But the fact is that it was his salvation of our souls that did the work. It was all a work of God. All we did was believe it. But he gave us the faith to believe it in the first place. We exercised our will and said yes. But it was all a work of God. He drew us by his grace. He opened our eyes. You can't work for your salvation. God did it all. He opened our eyes. He showed us the miserable, sin-sick condition that we were in. And then he gave us Jesus as the only cure. We were sick. Only Jesus is the cure. Amen. By his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. Salvation was all his doing, according to his good pleasure and will. Just that thought, that truth ought to make us thankful and rejoice every day. And Paul closes his doxology talking about the only wise God. The only wise God, and there's only one. Only the Lord could have conceived such a perfect plan of redemption. He sought us and he bought us. We're bought with the price. We are not our own. We belong to him now. And it cost him his blood. It cost him his son. No man could have done it except the God-man. The God-man, Jesus Christ. I and my Father are one, said Jesus. All of man's futile efforts to find true enlightenment and peace is all based on what they think they can do, their works. All the religions of the world are based on works, what they can do, man's works. But then they all get bogged down. They follow some useless rules and regulations and religions. It's futile. But only God's perfect wisdom could formulate a plan of salvation that is absolutely flawless. Only God could have done that. And he did. Amen? He did it. He's done it. It's a done deal, as we say in the colonies. Only God could have done it. Only God could and would and did. Conceiving of giving the innocent Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, to die in the place of guilty sheep. Guilty sheep. The Lamb of God died for us, died for you, died for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Paul concludes this letter, and so will we. After almost 2.5 years, and he finishes with a benediction. And he reminds the church the reason the gospel message is so important. So that people everywhere, from every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation, might believe and obey God by receiving his Son, Jesus Christ, as their own personal Savior. By faith in him alone, no other way. Don't put your faith in anything else except him. Our salvation, remember, our salvation, or rather his salvation, was all a work of God's grace. Unmerited favor. And between our initial conversion to Jesus Christ, whenever that was, to our final destination in heaven, one-way ticket, remember that we're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. But we don't have to fight the battle alone. Why? Because we still have God's amazing grace to help us every single day until he takes us home. Even though we may face, and we do face, formidable foes, the world, we're up against it, the flesh, and the devil, yet we're on the victory side because of what Jesus did at Calvary. And soon the war will be over, and so will this message. In the meantime, we battle on with the wonderful aid of the grace of God. It's all sufficient to help us and establish us every single day, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you will go through. He's there to help us until we finally go home to where we belong. As Paul says near the end of his life, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. He could say that. Will we? Will we be able to say that? I hope so. Hang in there. Hang in there. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. Sadly, many people do not finish the course. So let's be sure then. Let's be sure to finish the course. And because we can, through the power of God's grace, who has established us on the rock of Christ, having received the light through the glorious gospel that is no longer a mystery. It's no longer hidden. We have all the, you have all the facts, all the truth, all the enlightenment we will ever need through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let's just close in a word of prayer, please. Amazing love, amazing grace, amazing Savior that saved a wretch like me. You're an awesome God. And where would we be without your love? You came after us. You gave us the faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. And thank you, Lord, that we have that assurance. And we have your Holy Spirit to comfort us and to guide us and to help us. And our names are written in that Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb of God, who took away our sin so we wouldn't have to face judgment. We wouldn't have to pay the price for being guilty for the sins that we've committed. Jesus took that on his body, on the cross, and he paid the price for our redemption in his precious blood that was shed to wash away our sins, to make us right with God. And as far as east is from the west, you remember our sins no more. Thank God for Jesus. And there may be somebody here, somebody listening, that have yet to make the commitment. May they do it today. Saying, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and you are the Savior, and you died for me so I wouldn't have to die and suffer punishment in the lake of fire for all eternity. I believe in my heart that you were buried and that you rose again from the dead after 3 days, and you are alive, and I ask you to save me. And there may be some others that need to get right with the Lord. Say, Lord, you know the mess that I've made of my life. And from this day forward, I want to commit to live a godly life, but I need your help. And I know that it's available. And help us to remember the price that Jesus paid on that cross when we're tempted to go astray. All like sheep have gone astray. But because you love the sheep, you leave the 99 and you go over that after that one that's lost, and you bring it back into the fold. And you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You are the good shepherd. And we love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.